Now, Kenya has announced plans to close all of its refugee camps, including the largest refugee camp in the world. This would displace more than 600,000 people. Tim Costello is the CEO of World Vision Australia, although he's just announced he'll be taking up a new role as chief advocate. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Patricia. Well,
so, Tim, before we discuss Kenya, you've been CEO of World Vision for 13 years. Why the change?
Well, even I'm surprised that I'm now 61. And look,
how did that happen?
Exactly. No one told me. It's a fantastic job, but 3 months away, you fly economy, you are constantly jet lagged. You arrive and drive on African roads big enough to swallow Land Rovers, bumpy roads, and so chief advocate, which allows me to stay and be passionate about the things I'm doing, is a great step sideways.
So does that mean that the role of chief advocate also means that maybe you have more freedom to express your views? CEOs are often constrained by what they can say.
Yes, CEOs certainly have to be focusing on the management machinery. And look, 13 years of doing that, most CEOs, if they last 10, are doing well. So I'm giving myself a leave pass there. But my spiritual energies really are in the advocacy zone, and even as CEO, I was often doing those bits that I loved. I now can really devote myself to it, so yes, it does free me up.
Is there anything specific that you want to push for or advocate for as chief advocate?
Yeah, I really want to say that Australians have profoundly lost perspective. Not Australians so much, but our government. They've cut aid by 30%. We'll go to Dadaab and Kenya in a moment, but the only way to actually give people hope when they've been in refugee camps is to actually provide hope through jobs, aid, a future. Otherwise, they're going to be coming our way. So I'm really focused on how Australia has become a nation of shirkers, or at least our government. The rest of the world has actually increased aid. We've cut it by 30%, all aid to Africa gone, because we think this is the loss of perspective, that we're all hurting, that it's all so terrible here. We haven't got a clue how tough it is elsewhere, and how nations, European nations with much greater debt, said we won't balance the books on the backs of the poorest. So that's one of my advocacy passions.
So let's get to Kenya's decision to close its refugee camps. Extraordinary decision. What will happen now? What will the impact be on all those refugees? So many.
Kenya, unlike Australia at the bottom of the world where we really don't have any nasty neighbours and just a few boat people coming, is in a volatile part of the world. Somalia doesn't really have an effective government. Al-Shabaab and terror has perpetrated terrible terrorist attacks in Kenya. You know, the Westgate supermarket, 48 died. In a school, 148 kids died. And Dadaab camp, which I have been in, has been there 25 years, 75% Somalian. I would flee Somalia if I could. 98% of girls there suffer what we call female genital mutilation, the worst form of it, by the way. Often their vaginas are sewn up completely to prove that they're virgins. There's other lighter forms of it. It's why I was so moved when this Somali woman on Nauru set herself alight. I totally understand, having been to Somalia and Kenya, why she doesn't want to go back. You know, half of the girls there are all married well below 18 because you don't have a choice. So with terror, with Somalia, with other nasty neighbours, Kenya, with over 600,000 refugees, is just in proximity to a really tough area. So I don't support what Kenya's doing to actually close the camps and send them on the road to
hell. Well, where will they go? Will it be an organised closure? What's being negotiated?
Well, they're imagining they'll send them back to Somalia, but as we saw with one Somali woman on Nauru, you know, it's like good luck. And this is exactly the predicament. Where will they go? How do you imagine this is going to
work?
And
what should the international response be then? Because surely there should be pressure on the international community to step in.
This is exactly right. This is why, as I said, just cutting aid is so mean, so cruel. We've become mean, meaner and meanest in the world, cutting all aid to Africa. Whether it's in Dadaab camp with Somali refugees or in Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon with Syrian refugees, the international community needs to keep hope alive by feeding them. We cut the World Food Programme, which World Vision's the biggest administrator of that programme. We cut it in the camps with Syrian refugees from $30 a month to $13.50. So guess what? They all hit the road toward Europe. We would have been better, certainly Europe would have been better, to contract out European and German jobs to those camps and say, there's hope your kids will get an education. If this war can ever end, you can go back.
Tim Costello, you've criticised a few times now the government's mean, and meaner policy. We're in a federal election campaign officially now, 8 weeks of it. This is not an issue that rates highly, as you know. It's not a vote switcher. Does that frustrate you? Do you think that personally you're a chief advocate now, you want to push issues like this to let Australians know what you see as an unfair cut to our aid budget?
Yeah, it frustrates me terribly. It's what I mean by this loss of perspective. Both sides of politics, particularly the coalition, because they've done the 30% of cuts, have said to Australians, to get our vote, oh, we feel your pain, your electricity bill could go up, we can't deal with big issues like climate change. You know, we're still the third richest nation on earth. Yep, there are Australians struggling, and I've spent 20 years of my life with domestic charities working with them. But when I see the poor here in Australia set off against the poor overseas, absolute poor, 60 million refugees, I go, this is wrong. This sense that in Australia we have to cut aid by 30%. A latest cut was $224 million by Scott Morrison. By the way, that's just one day of interest saving of the tax cuts of $50 billion that are going to corporate Australia. One day. We cut it. I actually don't know an Australian business person when they realise that would say, I agree with that. Yeah, I want my corporate tax cut, but we know we're still blessed. And that profound loss of perspective, parties get away with it, the coalition, because people who are absolutely poor, refugees, don't vote. They don't vote, so they don't matter. By the way, this is not what the rest of the world's done. You know, Britain, a conservative prime minister, was under pressure to cut aid. They're at 70 cents in $100 of gross national income. We're now down to 22 cents. 70 cents is the international promise. David Cameron said, we will never balance the books on the backs of the poorest. Now, that's leadership. Aid should be bipartisan. Why? Because the world is a waterbed. You press down in one place, it comes up in another. If you aren't dealing with this refugee crisis, and African refugee crisis, if unaddressed, will make the Syrian refugee crisis look minuscule, be just because of the time bomb ticking. And guess what? It will be our problem.
Tim Costello, many thanks for coming in to talk to me. It's been a pleasure. You're currently CEO of World Vision Australia. You're soon to be the charity's chief advocate. You're not going to struggle with that job, I don't think.
Thank you very much.
Joining me tonight. Thank you so much. You're listening to RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.